back on Voices from the Front Lines on 90.7 KPFK in Los Angeles, 98.7 KPFK in Santa Barbara. So just before we get to the next guest, we want to say that we are going to be talking, just what Saladin was talking about, the December 10th event. We're going to be seeing what we're going to do about that. So if you're interested in more information on that, call us at our number, 213-387-2800. Y'all should know this by now. Have it tattooed on your arm or something. So right now we have on the phone Panama Alba. Panama?
How are you?
Good. How are you?
For the opportunity.
Oh, thank you for being on the show. So Panama is a former member of the Young Lords Party. Was doing work against the Vietnam War, and since then has continued to organize, one of the long-distance runners that is doing stuff for environmental justice to get the U.S. out of Vieques and to help expand the rights for Puerto Rico to actually be free. So let's just start. Filberto Ojeda Rios was a founding member of the Macheteros, had a long, long history in the Puerto Rican independence movement. Tell us who he was and why he was so important to the movement.
Well, Filiberto Ojeda Rios was born to a nationalist family in Puerto Rico. He was a working class man, not an intellectual, a college intellectual, but very much a brilliant revolutionary intellectual who from the 60s, he actually started out as a musician with many prominent Latin bands. And he eventually dedicated his total energies towards the liberation of Puerto Rico. He was the founder of the Macheteros, El Ejército Popular Boricua. And I need to explain maybe a little background here, because I think that by and large, many folks do not understand that Puerto Rico is a classic colony of the United States. That Puerto Rico was militarily occupied on July 25th, 1898, as part of the so-called Spanish-American War. And Puerto Rico has undergone what I consider the most sophisticated and insidious form of colonialism. The fact that most people perceive Puerto Rico to be a commonwealth of the United States. In Spanish, they call it the Estado Libre Asociado, the freely associated state. It is neither. It is a classic colony. Filiberto, like I said, comes from a nationalist family because the struggle against U.S. colonialism in Puerto Rico has existed since the day of the invasion. And he was most prominent in 1983 when he was arrested as one of a group of people, members of the Macheteros, accused of the heist, the Wells Fargo heist in Hartford, Connecticut, that netted $7.8 million. He was out on bail, and 15 years ago, on September the 23rd, 15 years back, he actually took the electronic bracelet of his ankle, sent it to the FBI, and lived in clandestinity until exactly 15 years later, this past September 23rd. Now, it's very important to also understand that September 23rd is a historic day for Puerto Rican people. September 23rd, 1868 was the day of the Declaration of Independence, the Grito de Lares in Puerto Rico, and it was the day in which marks the abolition of slavery in Puerto Rico and the independence from Spain. Just 30 years later, the United States invaded and takes over. And there has been an ongoing movement to fight for the liberation of Puerto Rico. It has been under the UN, United Nations Decolonization Committee, for over 30 years. The United States tables the issue every year, and so it continues to go on. So you have a very important date, September 23rd. Okay, marks the 107th. The United States has been Puerto Rico has been under U.S. domination for 107 years. It marks 137 years from the cry of independence from Spain. It marks 15 years from the time that Filiberto Ojeda went clandestine and sent the electronic bracelet back to the FBI. And on that day, the FBI chose to supposedly attempt to arrest him, but in fact assassinate him. You know, we cannot take this as a coincidence. He was surrounded in a farmhouse. He offered to surrender to in front of a journalist, a well-known journalist, Jesus Davila in Puerto Rico. The FBI refused, and then he was taken down by a single bullet from a sniper and left on the floor of the farmhouse to bleed to death. They entered the house some 18 hours later when he was dead.
Everyone, I understand, didn't let any doctors come in, nobody to help him, so basically
they would
shot
not
him.
Allow anybody, right. They would not go into the house for like 18 hours, in which time the coroner determined that he bled to death. He didn't die from the wounds itself, he just bled to death.
Well, I guess one question that I have is just, I know over the years since the Young Lords and whatnot, the Puerto Rican independence movement in terms of both to become independent or to figure out what relation they wanted to have to the U.S. has gone through ebbs and flows of support. This to me seems like this would be kind of found ahead of something that will actually reunite some of that. Can you talk a little bit about him being assassinated, what that's actually could do for the movement to actually spur it on again?
Well, let me start out by saying that I think that there is a very big misread, that in fact the U.S. government misread the situation dramatically. I don't think that they would have chosen to assassinate him on such a historic day when everyone else, by the way, on that day, he has sent a recorded message to the gathering at Lares, where every year the Grito de Lares is commemorated. And this happens while every most independentistas are at a gathering in another part of the island. I think that, you know, when you look at the returns on elections in Puerto Rico, the returns say something like 1.5% of the electorate votes for independence and the rest votes pretty much 50-50 for statehood or commonwealth. And I think that people tend to interpret that as a lack of support for Puerto Rican independence. In fact, there are huge sectors of the independence movement that boycott at the colonial elections. But if the government read that as a sign that they could actually walk into Puerto Rico, assassinate Filiberto Ojeda, who they have been hunting for 15 years, and get away with it, it was a huge misread, because the immediate reaction all across Puerto Rico and Puerto Rican communities in this country and other countries as well has been one of outrage and action.
We have about a minute and a half left. Okay. Tell us, in terms of what folks are actually doing to actually kind of get to to put the people in the FBI and in the government on notice and saying, hey, this is not going to be tolerated, as one thing. And then two, where can people get more information?
People can email me at panamaalba2@yahoo.com. panamaalba2@yahoo.com. Okay. There will be a memorial in New York City on November 18th for Filiberto. There's already been a number of activities, celebrating his life and condemning his assassination. The reaction of the people is one of outrage and action. At this moment, there is a lot of talk about what the next steps are, but certainly the assassination of Filiberto Ojeda has taken the movement to a new height. It's yet to see where exactly does it lead, but certainly things will never be the same for the liberation or the relationship between the United States and Puerto Rico.
All right. Thank you, Panama. I always have a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. So we would like to thank our guests today. We have Curtis Muhammad, Socho Bavera, Saladin Muhammad, and Panama Alba on the show.
Amazing show.
And we had music from Ozo Motley, from DJ Chaotix, who's the one who's like George Bush doesn't like black people.
And the Far Side should be coming on right now. Maggie Lepeek's going to run it up, who's our engineer. I'd like to thank our producer, Alan Minsky, our production assistant, Lisa Adler. We'll see you next week on Voices of the Frontlines. Actually, we'll see you this Thursday, the 6th, Emmanuel Presbyterian Church at 7 o'clock for the support of the New Orleans Reconstruction Movement. And up next, we'll have Susie Weissman with Beneath the Surface.
You've been listening.